How about you? But I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how money divides people. How money and stuff divide people. I mean, seeing these brothers and sister fight about their father's estate and allow that to split them is a painful reminder to me that even the bonds of blood give way when your heart is gripped by greed. And your greed, it's a big concern of God. I want you to look with me today at a story, an incident from Jesus' life. It's found in Luke chapter 12, and I'd like you to turn it. Turn to Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. And this scripture, the story, Jesus is teaching, large crowd. And it says, verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to judge or be an arbiter of your will between you?" He said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kind of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Amen. Then he said to them, told them this parable. He said, "The ground of a certain man, a rich man, produced a crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store up my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you've plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. These guys are concerned about their inheritance, how much they get. But Jesus is concerned about their relationships, how much they love, how much they give, and how much they love each other compared to how much they love themselves and their stuff. And so Jesus says, be on guard against all kinds of greed. He says, a person's life doesn't consist of the abundance of his possessions. I want you to take out your program, inside your program, pull out this green insert and follow along with me, would you? Got some points I want to make, and I want you to take some notes. It's too important not to. First is this. What is greed? What is greed? Well, the Bible says that greed is, and so do the dictionaries. Greed is an excessive desire for more, in a nutshell. It's an excessive desire for more. It's one of the seven deadly sins that have become, according to a number of people, defining characteristics of our culture. And you know what? Greed is closely related to three other of the seven deadly sins. It's closely related to gluttony, which is an excessive desire to consume more than which one requires. And lust, which is an excessive craving for the pleasures of the body. And envy, the desire for others' traits, status, abilities, or situations. So I have a question for you. I want to poll you. Yes or no, are we Americans greedy? How many of you would say yes? Pop your hands up. How many of you would say no? Pop your hands up. You know what? The evidence is in. Americans compose 2.5% of the world's population. We consume 25% of its goods and its energy. 10 times our fair share. I think that qualifies us as greedy. In fact, what's amazing is Americans went negative in 2005. It's the last time since the Great Depression that we spent more than we earned as a nation. Like frogs in a kettle, though, I think, we're blind to it. Like the other evils in our culture that are all around us all the time. We get blind to these things, and I think we're blind to our greed. And what scares me, frankly, is we've baptized our greed. We sanctified it, and it's now become part of the American religion. We've taken that word prosperity in the Bible, and we've identified that as material abundance. And we've told ourselves that God wants us to have more and more and more. I just want you to know that. Like frogs in the kettle, folks. What amazed me as I was researching this, over 9 out of 10 teenage girls identify shopping as their number one enjoyable activity in life. Children today, in inflation-adjusted terms, when adjusted for inflation, kids today spend 5 times as much as their parents spent. That is unbelievable to me. What's the symptom? Americans, we have developed what's been called the see, want, buy cycle. The see, want, buy cycle. You can read about that on the web at ShareSaveSpend.com. ShareSaveSpend.com. It's an interesting website about an investment banker who had an epiphany after 9/11. And it's a good story. Let me ask you this question. We're coming up on Christmas, aren't we? Here's a diagnostic question. How do we evaluate that holiday? What's the diagnostic question that we ask people to help assess how their holiday went? What did you get for Christmas? That diagnostic question reveals a lot about what we see the purpose of this holiday. That's why we're doing a series in December called Simply Christmas. Our goal is to take a new look at an old holiday and to recapture its real meaning. You see, the reality is that, you know, our culture right now is facing the greatest crisis, economic crisis, since the Great Depression. The reality is that greed has created this crisis. Do you understand that? Our greed has fueled our overspending, our overborrowing, and our over-leveraged lending. All three of those are motivated by greed. From 2002 through 2007, Americans, listen to this, it's amazing, 3% of our gross domestic product, 3% of GDP was created by mortgage equity withdrawals. People taking money out of their homes. As a result, consumer debt has blown up to 98% of our gross domestic product. It was 25% in 1959. Household debt is now 117% of our gross domestic product. It was 47% in 1959. Our greed, our debt, our fear have caused our global credit crisis. See, the Bible, and I want you to look in that in your outline, the Bible says you are a slave to whatever controls you. And right now our globe is controlled by greed, by debt, and by fear. That's what we're covering in this hostage series. Each of these factors and how you can find freedom from them. Because we've got to find freedom from them. They're terrible tyrants. Which is why God's Word warns us about them. Do you know that? The Bible carries these warnings about greed. It says, be on guard against it. It says to flee from it. It says to put it away from you. It says put greed to death in you. And it says to keep your life free from it. Why? Because God's Word says, don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Now, psychiatrist David Allen, in his book, Shattering the Gods Within, he says that an idol is anything that is elevated to a godlike status in your life. Any problem, person, pleasure that occupies your waking or your sleeping moments, which distracts you from your faith, influences your passions, or pulls you away from your Christian community. When you look to money and what it can buy for your identity, your security, your significance, your satisfaction, instead of God, you are an idolater. And the tragic tale of Adam and Eve, the beginning of this Bible, and their fall from grace, teaches us that it's envy and it's greed that were the root of our separation from God, folks. That's why greed is serious stuff. God views your greed, my greed, our cultural greed seriously. Listen to these warnings from His Word. It says that neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians. He says, for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, for such man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ and of God. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Wow. Isn't that amazing? God hates greed. You know why? Because greed steals your heart from Him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So how can you get free from this see, want, buy cycle? Well, we're going to offer you an opportunity starting in January. You can go through the Financial Peace University with us. Next slide. Financial Peace University. On Thursdays, 7 to 8:30, starting January 8th. There should be an overhead about it. Got it? I guess not. I made one, but it's apparently not on here. Listen, it's coming up, and it's coming up January. And it's you need to save your money right now, okay? Here's what I want you to do, parents. Listen, for all the resources, it's $100, okay? So moms, dads, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take $100 of your Christmas money and I want you to buy each other a gift. Buy each other the gift of a strategy to move you toward financial freedom and out of the grip of greed and debt and fear that the mismanagement of your money has resulted in. Would you do that for me, please? I want you to get free from that stuff. We're going to share about how you can do that in the next 6 weeks or so. Dr. Scott, who will be facilitating this class, he's going to be sharing next week, and he's got a lot of great stuff to share about finding freedom from debt when debt holds you hostage. You're a slave to whatever controls you, Peter says. Listen, God does not want you held hostage in your heart by greed, nor by debt, nor by fear. Here's how you can find freedom from greed's grip. Are you ready? 4 points, 4 keywords, 4 changes God wants you. Number one, the first one is redefine. Redefine. Redefine life. What does Jesus say in Luke chapter 12? He says, watch out, be on guard against all kind of greed. Why? Because he says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus is saying that is you should not define your life by how much money or how much stuff you acquire. We need to redefine these words. We need to redefine for ourselves, according to God's truth, what these words, life, need, abundance. Okay? What these mean. Oh, we also need to define what this word means. Hello?
That's right.
The Bible says when you're gripped by greed, there's never enough. When asked how much was enough, J.D. Rockefeller said just a little more. Here's a guy who owned 20% of the country at one point in time. And it wasn't enough. Redefine life. Redefine it God's word. You know how Jesus defines enough? Let's look at how Jesus defines enough. Look back to Luke chapter 11. Just go back one chapter, please. Luke chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, real quickly. Okay? Here's what Jesus says. He says, when asked to pray, Jesus says, here's what to say. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day. Give us each day our daily bread. Jesus says, this is how you ought to pray. Now, I want you to know the context of that prayer. That context is found in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. When he tells his followers to pray, give us this day our daily bread, he's referring to one of the wise sayings of God's word. And it's Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. It's in your outline here. I love this. Are you ready? Can you recite this with me? Give me neither poverty nor riches. One more time. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Wow. Proverbs 30 verse 8. Why? Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. God says that riches are dangerous because they tempt you to believe that in yourself rather than in God and in your stuff rather than God. They're dangerous. And so Jesus models this prayer about how we should be praying. In the light of Proverbs 30, I got to tell you that Jesus tells us, don't be praying to be rich. Don't be praying to be rich, man. You need to be praying for enough. You need to be praying for your needs. Okay? I'm reminded of Janis Joplin's song. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all have Porsches. I must make amends, right? I'm telling you, man. Listen, this is what Jesus says. Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Are you ready? He follows it up with this. He says, so I say, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That's what we're all about. The name of our church is Discover. It's the Greek word that's translated find right here. Seek and you will find. We want people to discover God, to discover Jesus Christ. And that's our mission here. Jesus says, and he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to ask, to those who ask of him? Listen, God says if you're going to be greedy about anything, you need to be greedy about God. Greedy about more of God in your life. Greedy about a fuller experience of God and of the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of greed, that the only kind of greed that God says it's okay to have. More of God, not stuff. Number two, release. Number one, redefine. Number two, release. Release. Lighten your load. It's the law of physics. The larger the body, the greater the what? Gravitational pull, right? The larger the mass, the greater the gravitational pull. And stuff is the same way. It operates by the same principle in the emotional, mental, and spiritual realm. Listen to Jesus' advice in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 32. What does he say? He says this. He says, don't be afraid. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And then he goes on. And he says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. You want to look at something? Look at Luke chapter 19. Jesus has this discussion with this guy who just gets gripped by God through him. His name is Zacchaeus. He's a wealthy guy. And in verses 8 and 9, what Jesus does is it says, Zacchaeus stands up and he says, Lord, here and now I give half of my stuff to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, they're going to get it back fourfold. And what does Jesus say to this guy? Listen, he says, today salvation has come to this man's house. Salvation has come to your house. Wow. What kind of salvation from? You know what? Zacchaeus, through his awareness of who Jesus was, he got freed from his grip of greed. It was a miraculous freedom. He got freed from that grip. He got hooked to God and unhooked from his stuff. We've got a couple of opportunities for you to release. One of those is inside of your program. It's our Thanksgiving baskets. We want you to contribute to that as you're able. We want to be generous and show God's love. The second thing is a holiday offering. We're going to give you an opportunity to make some special offerings in the month of December. It's time that we considered that in lieu of how tough the economy is and the needs that are going to go up. They're only going to get worse, folks, aren't they? How many of you have figured out that we're not floating as a church? We're in the red, you know that? And we're going to have to lighten our load next year. Unless giving changes or attendance changes. That's just the way of it, folks. We see the reality. We're not bugging you for money. We're just going to challenge you to do what's right. To do what's right. And we're going to live with it. But I just want you to know that those are two opportunities right now for you to release. The third way, refocus. Redefine, release, refocus. Refocus. And I want you to look what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Okay. We're just jumping back in Luke 12. He says to his disciples, he warns about it. He says, man, he tells the story of the rich fool. And by the way, how many of you noticed that the rich fool's strategy is the American strategy? Believer and unbeliever alike. The agenda is the same. We're going to hoard as much as we can, lay it aside so we can do what? So we can be lazy and unproductive in our old age. Wow. Jesus says it's a foolish strategy. I'm just pointing it out to you. I think it's important to lay up for crises. That's okay. You know, it's been said that well, we don't have a shortage of resources in the world. The global famine, it's not because there's a shortage of resources. We have a hoarding problem. And we are the number one hoarders, folks. I'm going to tell you God's truth. I'm not going to tickle your ear. Because I'm responsible. I'm responsible before God. God wants to prosper you, but He wants to prosper you first spiritually, secondly physically, and thirdly emotionally. And He's promised to give you what you need. Okay? But when you compare your need to your neighbor's need, and you start wanting Mercedes-Benz because they got Porsches. Do you know that over 2.1 billion people on the planet live on less than $2 a day? Another almost a billion, 880 million live on a dollar a day. The average American lives on $50 a day. I think we're doing pretty doggone good. What do you think? We consume 10 times our fair share, 25 times what the poorest do. 50 what the ultra poorest do. We don't need more. We need to refocus. We need to refocus, folks. He says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, about your body, what you'll wear. Life is more important than food. And the body more important than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap, have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Man, I need to read that every day. Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Worry is my idol. So God showed me when I was speaking a couple weeks ago, man, Kev, that is what preoccupies way too much of your attention. Yeah. Consider how the lilies grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was well dressed as one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will He not clothe you, O you of little faith? Wow. And he goes on, he says, don't set your hearts on what you eat or drink or what you worry about. Don't let that be your focus in life. But seek His kingdom. And these things will be given to you as well. He says, don't worry about these things. Don't set your heart on them. For the world, the pagan world, runs after such things. What or who are we supposed to be running after as Christ followers? Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Fix your eyes on who or what? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Correct? Listen, what does it mean to seek God's kingdom? It means to prioritize God's agenda. To pursue God's purposes rather than being preoccupied with our culture's priorities. Consumption, acquisition, indulgence. Jesus says those are foolish things to focus on. Foolish things. We need to prioritize God's agenda. What's God's agenda? When asked, what was the most important commandment? What's the most important thing in life? What did Jesus say? Love God. Love people. Love God, love people. Jesus said, you want to focus on what's important? Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Love others how? Like yourself. We all got that part down, don't we? Trust me. But don't make me, myself, and I an idol in your life. You got to love people. You got to love God. God wants you to redefine, to release, to refocus, and the fourth one is to reinvest. 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 If loving God and loving people are the most important things in life, then shouldn't we be investing ourselves in God's purposes and in people, connecting them to Christ in a life-changing way? Then you're so right. We can't put our trust in politics. The only way to enact a biblical agenda is to be in a country where the populace has the Bible's values in their hearts. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how things are going to change around here. not by politicians, but by you and I connecting people to Christ in a life-changing way. And it'll never happen if we're not willing to invest ourselves in people who matter most to God. People who are far from Jesus Christ. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for people that will lay down their lives for those who matter most. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, what does Jesus say? It's a parallel to this. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Store up treasures in heaven. Invest in what God's Word says to. Invest in what God's Spirit says to. Invest where needs demand your action, folks. What does God's Word say that we're to invest in? Well, God's Word says that the first 10% of what you earn is His. It's His. It's not yours. You don't have any control over it. So I want to ask you this question. Do you give to God what belongs to God? I have no idea what any of you give. I only know what I give because I never look at giving records. I don't want my pastoral ministry to be governed by who's giving what. But it doesn't mean it's not important. And I'm sorry that we've neglected to teach you about its importance, because it's very important. Why don't we give to God what belongs to God? Well, number one, maybe you don't have a relationship with God. That's one reason why people don't give to God. They're not related to God. Number two, you might have little faith in God because you don't have much knowledge about God. You know what? You need to get to know God. And the prime way to get to know Him is right here in this Word, the book. You need to take in more truth so you understand God. Maybe you've got an idol in your life, though. Maybe you're gripped by greed in some area of your life and it prevents you from obeying God. I don't know what your idol is. If you don't give to God what He says is His, I'm not sure what your idol is. Maybe you're living in your idol. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you're driving your idol. Maybe you're wearing your idol. Maybe you're heading up to your idol on the weekends. I don't know. Maybe your idol is your 401k. This winter, this Christmas, your idol might be under your Christmas tree. God's Word says what to give. I'll be teaching about how and why to give on Wednesday night. If you want to come at 7 o'clock. We're finishing up, you're finding your freedom in Christ. We're going to cover two things, ancestral sins and also robbing God. So if you want to come, come. But I'm responsible to tell you truth. You reinvest by giving to God what God says is His. Okay? And God says greed is idolatry. I've told you the truth, now you got to live with it. And I'm sorry for that, but I need to do that. Love God and love people. You know, you got to give what God says. You ever hear that impulse to give to somebody? God says, give this person this. Whether you respond to that impulse or not is a great indicator whether you're gripped by greed or governed by God. My wife and I we've given a couple of big gifts this year to people with needs because God told us to. We made some loans, some big loans to some people because God told us to. You know, when God tells you to, that's when the rubber meets the road, isn't it? And give where the needs are. Let me ask you, you know, and the great example is the Good Samaritan. You want to teach your kids right. There's a great, great way to do that on sharesafespend.com. Really, really good site for that. Good Samaritan is probably the greatest example, right? He saw the need. He said, man, the need demands that I give to it. Boom. Here's my stuff. Take care of him. Right? Rolled up his sleeve. Man, what the world needs is more Good Samaritans. You know that? Not greedy Pharisees. We need more Good Samaritans and less greedy Pharisees. So let me ask you a real question. Here's some diagnostic questions. I'm going to button it up. Okay, number one. What am I giving myself and my time to? It's a good question, isn't it? What am I laying down my life for? What am I passionately pursuing? How am I living with heaven in view? In what tangible ways am I storing up treasures in heaven? I've heard a couple of people say some things in the past month or so that kind of scared me. People that I know that stopped giving. They say, well, we're giving to God in other ways. Here's my question. What way? In what ways? Because I talked to Pastor Jeff, we're scratching our heads. I go, well, they don't serve in any way. Okay, so they're not giving their time. We just couldn't come up with any way that we saw tangibly that they were giving to God in other ways. And you know, the Bible says the human heart is incredibly deceitful and wicked. And the thing that's scary about it is we can rationalize our greed and our idolatry. We need to be governed by God's Word. We need to let God's Word define what life is. Jesus said, you need to come to me to have life to the full. Life to the fullest is found in coming to Jesus. We need to have the Word identify what need is, what abundance is, and what enough is. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear God, as we look at this, we recognize that, you know, we might have allowed the world to squeeze us into its mold. We might have allowed our culture to define what life and what need and what abundance and what enough is. God, we might have allowed ourselves to become deceived in our hearts and gripped by greed rather than governed by you. And for that, we ask your forgiveness. And so we pray and ask, Lord God, that you would illumine our minds and our hearts. And that you would enable us, Lord, this next season through this hostage series and this Simply Christmas series to grab a hold of your definition, Lord, to redefine what these things are. God, I pray that you release the gift of faith and conviction, Lord, to enable us to release to you what you're calling us to let go of, God. To decrease the gravitational pull of all of our stuff, to liquidate some of the things that are holding us back, Lord. Thirdly, Lord, help us to refocus on you. We're sorry for the distraction that all these pursuits do, Lord. And lastly, Father God, we just pray and ask that you would show us where and how much you want us to reinvest. Reinvest in your agenda, in your purposes, Lord. Your purposes of living for your pleasure, loving your people, becoming like your Son, serving your world, sharing your good news, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to really love you and love others. In tangible ways, we pray. And in so doing, Lord, store up treasures in heaven, God.